Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coaching Coordinator Podcast. I'm joined today by a great friend of the show, a friend of mine, a guy who I've gotten to know over the last several years, and I'm excited about what he's been doing in his career. That's the, I guess, former tight ends coach of the Memphis Express, Rob Everett. Rob, it's great to have you here. Sorry about the stint with the AAF ending a little bit quickly, but I know it was an exciting experience for you.
Absolutely, Keith. Thanks for having me on. It was a fun journey. You know, the last 6 months have been eye opening. You know, it was a roller coaster for sure. But there are no regrets in the decision that was made. My family and I made to go give that a shot, and it's really kind of energized me. And hopefully, I can share some things that you know may motivate some other people to you know think outside the box and take their shot.
Absolutely. Well, Rob, I was trying to figure out exactly when it was we met, and I want to say, I know it was at AFCA at the time. You were still at the high school level. You were a defensive coordinator in Virginia. I think it was it Westfield High School?
That's right.
And so I want to say, you know, San Antonio AFCA probably, was it maybe 13, 14, somewhere around there?
I think that's right. I think that's it.
So from there, Rob, I've seen this evolution of a coach, and I've watched your career and the moves you made. You know, you went from being the state champion defensive coordinator. You took a job at the Division III level at Bridgewater College and made a great impact on the program there on the defensive side. And from there, you got the opportunity to go coach professional football in the AAF with Mike Singletary in the Memphis Express. And along the way, you've also done all these great things with technology and really have become known for some of the things you're doing, not just with the Go Army Edge app, but I've seen you do some really incredible things with Google Docs and Google Classroom and all those kinds of things. Just really at the heart of it, you're a great teacher, a great coach, and you've found a way, I think, to be really efficient in the way you teach. So just looking at that and looking back, you know, from the time I met you to now, how exciting has it been just for you to just look back on that and see how things have evolved for you?
Well, thank you for the kind words, Coach. I really appreciate it. But it does seem like a lifetime ago. You know, the 2013-14 season seems like a lifetime ago. But, you know, really my journey kind of through all levels of football, when you start from today and kind of move backwards, it really has solidified the foundation that that all football coaching is, and I guess coaching of any sport, is just about teaching. And that I think what has made me successful in my own right is that I've taken my background as a teacher and applied that to, you know, every scenario that I walk into, no matter what the level is. And so that's been kind of fun to be able to see that no matter the players that you're dealing with, whether it's high school, college, or professional, they all want to learn something. And it doesn't matter how good the athlete is, you know, they're there to get better. And that's your job as the coach to teach them something. Dennis Thurman, who's our defensive coordinator in Memphis, that's what he told me when you interact with these pros, yes, they are professionals, but they're there to learn. You know, your job is to teach them something. And if you teach them something, they will respect you. And I think that message really resonates to the entire profession. So all the stuff that I've done, with technology and things like that, first of all, I've been fortunate to work with some great people at all levels that have understood where, you know, my brain goes sometimes and give me a little latitude on that as well. But, you know, all the people have understood that with the support system that let's find a better way to instruct the player so on the field they can play faster. That's what this whole thing is about. So whether it's, you know, the use of technology through simulation or the assessment through the Google Classroom, like you were saying, or, you know, just reaching the player through a cell phone or, you know, through a video or whatever it might be, you know, finding a way to personalize that instruction for the teaching, you know, I think that's what I've kind of chased throughout my career, and been fortunate to have some success to be able to do that. But that, looking back at it, that's the main advice that I would, you know, give to people is, you know, just keep finding a not necessarily better way, because there's nothing wrong with the way it has been done, but is there a way to be more efficient to get the most out of it for your players?
And looking at that in terms of the efficiency, and I don't think necessarily you're a guy who like lives and dies by this is going to be the technology I use forever. You're just, again, looking for the most efficient ways, and you certainly have found some very effective tools that you've been able to apply at every level. The best part, I think, is, you know, what we're talking about here, and I guess the spoiler alert for coaches is, like, everything you do and the technology you use is 100% free. There's nothing that you do as a coach, even as you've moved up to the levels where they have more money to spend on those things, you're still using free applications through the whole process. So looking at that, though, in your thought process as a coach from the side of being a teacher, because that's really how you've approached this. There's certainly, I think, are opportunities for you to go out and do this and consult and make money, but that's not really what has driven you. What's driven you is to find a better way to teach, to find a way to make your players the absolute best they can be on the field with the tools that you have at hand. And like I said, free tools.
Yep. No, that is exactly right. And I guess the only one that's not free is Microsoft started charging for Office. I guess that's the only one that that you have to pony up for. But yeah, I mean, really what happens is like all these things are out there, you know, and if with just a little bit of creativity, you can maximize these things that, you know, people in the education world have been, you know, talking about for years. All that happens when your budget gets bigger is, you know, things get a little bit easier and a little bit bigger and a little bit cooler, but the guts of it are still the same. You know, the efficiency that we use Excel and not just the standard things of you know, practice plans and things like that, but, you know, with a little bit of research, you know, when you and I have talked about this before, Keith, both on offense and defense, there are things that Excel can open up for you in terms of tendencies and evaluation of your opponent and yourself, you know, that can really answer some questions in the game planning sense. And then we've talked about this at length. The assessment on Google Forms is something that you know, I will use at every level and had used this past season in Memphis. And so it really is just about think outside the box. And I think the dangerous thing about our profession is people are scared to do that because it's different. And if you do something different, are you going to get that shot with the people who don't want it done differently? But I've always believed that, you know, finding the right people to work for, you have to be genuine and you have to be true to yourself and true to your beliefs. And I think taking that look at something that's always been done this way and saying, hey, I think there might be a better way to do this. And I can share in my experience, I was fortunate to be able to work on both sides of the ball in Memphis. I still assisted the defense with a lot of their quality control things. So, you know, I presented a lot of different ways that could make things efficient for them. Some of them they adopted, some of them they weren't ready for. But it was good to see kind of the progression, and you let people kind of figure it out on their own and what's the next step that they need to take. And all these programs that we're talking about, the free programs that are there, you know, allow coaches to really be creative and build on it and stimulate as a coach your creativity both on and off the field.
I've had a lot of great coaches on this podcast, and I've heard a variety of ways that, you know, they get this done and they're successful with it, from, you know, the guys who talk about not having a paper playbook or not having any kind of playbook that gives the diagrams to their players, just having film and learning out on the field, to guys who have virtual reality, augmented reality, they have it all. In your mind, as you look at all the things available to us as teachers of the game, how important do you feel it is to have a mix of those things available to you because of the different learning styles that we're faced with?
Yeah, I mean, I think multiple modes of instruction are vital. And it really is, there's two facets in my mind that make it important. Number one, you mentioned the multiple learning styles, the, you know, visual, auditory, you know, people who need to touch things, you know, with reps guys that everybody has on their team. But then there's also the limitations of practice and the you know, player safety and things like that. The 3.5 hour practice doesn't exist anywhere anymore, at any level. And in my opinion, I think that's a good thing also, because you can be productive in different ways with a little bit of creativity. So I think that stuff is a must. And that's where I believe in it wholeheartedly. The virtual reality and the Go Army Edge app that we use, it allows us to reach the players on their own time, in their own way. And we're still doing all the standard coaching that we have done, but now we're putting it into a position where they can get extra reps on their own. And through, you know, we're now able to telestrate and write on the field. So I can tell you our install for Memphis, our training camp install, was all done through Go Army Edge with all the notes and those things that you would traditionally draw in Visio or, you know, PowerPoint or something like that. Those notes and those coaching points were drawn right on the field with spot shadows about who's moving where. And then we'd show the fits on the main things that we're going to see. And that was the presentation for the defense throughout training camp. And it was awesome to see. You know, I started using that program in high school and then took it to Bridgewater College. It was awesome to see a professional environment, both from a coaching standpoint and from a player standpoint, that, you know, they didn't know this stuff existed. And, you know, the amount of times I've heard, oh, I wish I had this when I was, you know, playing, from some of the coaches, or, you know, the players asking me to build something else for them so they can get more reps on Form Reco and things like that. And so the players get excited about those different things that are out there as well. So when you try to reach them through whatever vehicle you have, when you try to reach the players and let them know that, you know, you're going to do whatever it takes, that's a motivating thing for a player at all levels, is what I've experienced.
So I want to dig into some of the newer things, the newer tools that have come out in the last 6 to 9 months on Go Army Edge, and get back to that in a minute. But I want to go back and focus a little bit on your time at Memphis and that experience. And, you know, I know you shared as you were going through the season, you and I touched base a few times, probably every 3 weeks or so. And you'd tell me these pretty neat stories about, you wouldn't believe who's, you know, sleeping on my couch in this Airbnb, or you wouldn't believe, you know, who I got to interact with and that kind of stuff. So cool from, like, I guess that football nerd perspective, some of those things. But I want to hear about those stories, but also, you know, your thoughts on making that move. Because, you know, anytime you're faced with making that jump in the level you're in, there's probably that thought in your mind is like, what do I have to do different? Who do I have to be to do it at this level? You know, am I fit to do it, et cetera? As you got into it, where did you land in terms of your fit at that level and what you could bring to the table?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head with that. That, and I think there's human nature involved in that, where, you know, you're walking into a relatively unknown situation. You know some people, but don't, you know, you haven't coached with them yet, and so there's not necessarily the you know, the nervousness, but there's some anxiety that's there and some anticipation of, you know, can I hang here? Can I do this? And one of the greatest things that I found out pretty early, and what was unique about this situation, real quick, Keith, what was unique about it is the majority of the staff was, you know, career coaches that have, you know, that some of them even had retired, and they're coming back and doing this because they love the game of football. And so that was such a unique experience to be around these guys that are truly doing it for the right reason. And you know, they were great to me and embraced me there. But I found out pretty quickly, and these guys shared it, that, you know, football is football. You know, the language changes a little bit. The, the expectation of an understanding of a playbook and rules and the terminology certainly changes. But at the end of the day, it still is football. And what I kind of learned, as I think my experience in high school and small college really prepared me for this, because, I'm not used to working with professional athletes. We had some great players at all of my spots, but when you're talking about a 50-man roster that guys can get cut and replaced and things like that, you're working with elite athletes who are professionals. And but at the end of the day, you still have to get first downs. You still have to get stops. You still have to figure out how to score points and do some things. So all of those things at the smaller level, you need to almost be more creative. And so I think I kind of brought that to the staff, who a lot of them did not have my journey. So some of the things that we had done, from tackling to, drill work, and like we talked about with assessments and things like that, I was able to contribute that pretty quickly. But it was a great time to learn, to reinforce that this was the right career move. And then also an unfortunate byproduct of it is I learned how truly great this profession is and the people that have been involved. The support that I've gotten since the league's been down, from the people who have been in it and the people that are outside of it, that has been incredible. That, the coaching profession takes care of itself and the people who are in it for the right reasons. And that's just been an inspiring thing in a tough time for a lot of people.
And I know this profession really is about relationships. You hear it in the job market all the time. It's about, who you know. And so you're building those relationships as well. Who are some of the most interesting people you were able to meet through this experience? I mean, obviously working for Mike Singletary, Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Famer, is huge. But I know he brought other guys to the facility that you were able to interact with and essentially talk ball and do what football coaches do.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, Coach was phenomenal to work for. And he is without a doubt one of the most inspiring people. When he got up to talk to the team, you're ready to go. And that was great to work with somebody who was so genuine and so interested in his group and staff and players. A player of his caliber, you maybe wouldn't expect that. But I think first, Dennis Thurman, who's our defensive coordinator, and my roommate, we shared an apartment together. I mean, he was fantastic to me. That just in what he taught me, and just watching him work and watching him learn. I've been trying to chase this to do less in terms of scheme and things like that. And it was awesome to watch him kind of pare down a call sheet to the things that would get those guys playing quickly and understanding. So he was phenomenal to learn from. Our linebacker coach, Tom Mason, who's college pro, who's been everywhere. He was terrific in terms of a guy who came from an odd front and, trying to figure out the even front, the 4-3 that Coach Thurman wanted to play. And then moving to the offensive side, I still did all my stuff on defense, like I said. So, I went over to offense, and those guys were like, who is this guy? But Steve Marshall, who's our offensive line coach, and David Lee, who was our offensive coordinator, those guys just grabbed a hold of me and worked with me in my learning process and things like that. It was great. I can tell you this, from a defensive side, to be able to go over to offense and learn from the inside about protection, about the things that they care about, the things that they look at. It was kind of eye-opening to see what we focus on as defensive people. And at least this group, that wasn't an important thing. And it just interesting to see that other side. So anybody who has the chance to go to the other side and learn from some good people, I would certainly take it. But, along the way, there were some great times. We had 1 week where Coach Rex Ryan came and spent the week with us game planning, because Coach Thurman had coached with him in New York and Buffalo and Baltimore. So he came and spent some time with us and you know, slept on our couch. But it was great to just see how exciting, you know, a guy like that who's accomplished so much and has been in football his entire life, to see how excited he was just to sit there and talk football. I mean, it was inspiring. You know, he didn't have a stake in this. He just came up because he lives a couple of hours away and sat down and game planned with us and, you know, then went home and watched the game, and he's calling Coach Thurman and, you know, yelling at him that we screwed some of the stuff up that he wanted to do. But so it was things like that I will always cherish for that experience. But, you know, I guess I can say, Keith, and I've told you this before, like, you know, anybody who has that opportunity to take your shot, you know, it's kind of connected to the tackling thing that we talk about all the time. You know, you get an opportunity, you know, there's risk involved in any decision. You know, but we encourage our players all the time to take a shot and think outside the box and, you know, put themselves in an uncomfortable situation. You know, I think we need to remember to do that as coaches also, because whether it works or it doesn't, you come out the other side, you know, with experience and, you know, it opens up paths that you never knew could be there, both good and bad, you know. But I think that's what this is about, you know, challenging yourself and getting the most out of this game.
And I think those are just tremendous experiences. I know it's pretty neat to hear you talk about some of those things, you know, as you were going through the season. So I appreciate you sharing those here. Talk to us a little bit, Rob, about bringing, you know, because the one thing you do bring to the table is the use of some of that technology that for a lot of coaches, really at every level. You know, I have guys once, you know, every time we have somebody from Go Army Edge or you or somebody bring it up on the podcast, amazed by, you know, they go to GoArmyEdge.com and get the app and sign up for free and are amazed what they can do with it. So what was how receptive were coaches to this, or what were their thoughts as you brought that to the table and, you know, turn the screen on for the first time and they see that stuff there?
Yeah, I mean, it was the reaction was got some eyes opened, no question, both from the players and the coaches. And it is surprising to me that you know, this technology, not just in the football space, but this technology is out there and in the real world, everybody's used to virtual reality and those conversations. But for some reason, in football, we're stuck in, you know, we're a little bit behind. And I feel like that is changing. But what I found was that, you know, you would draw something in two dimensions and you would hit that button. And I still remember our first staff meeting when I, you know, drew up the defense that we're talking about and moved somebody around. And I remember Coach Thurman looking at Coach Singletary and saying, you know, where did you find this guy? And that was kind of the thing. And the what I think is kind of interesting about it is it really is not that complicated. You just have, just like anything else, you have to crawl before you can walk and things like that. But the feedback has been awesome. And really what we got into was the virtual reality piece of it. You know, the Oculus Go, you know, is now extremely affordable. You can get them for under $200. And the visual in that is incredible. And just all these things, we're able to just go over whatever needs to be talked about, whatever that might be. You're able to create it quickly and duplicate it. And I shared that story with Coach Ryan, but we came up with this kind of goofy defense that we were asking a defensive end to do something different. And so we just created a drill quickly, put them up on the screen in our meeting room, and this kid, you know, took 100 reps in 5 minutes about what we were asking him to do. And it was somebody that they said, like, I don't know if he can handle this. I don't know if he can do it. And this defense against this personnel grouping turned out to be, you know, a game changing front for us, and took the running game away from him. And so it was something simple that really took no time. It was just, all right, what are the skills that we're asking the players to do? All right, let's duplicate this in the small sense and then put them in an environment that they can do it over and over again. So, what Ed did, and I will always talk about this from a virtual reality standpoint, everybody has a use for going on the edge, no matter the level of football, because everyone does blitz pickup. Everybody does formation recognition on defense. So you're still going to do those things on the field. There's still importance for that. But those two pieces, you know, you were able to expose your players to so many more things and facilitate conversations that you wouldn't necessarily have or wouldn't be convenient to have in the space of the field. You know, whether you're trying to work with trash cans or scout teams and things like that, you know, you can almost put yourself in a group chat with certain formations and just get those guys talking football. And that was what was awesome. And it was fun for me, Keith, honestly, to work on the offensive side, because I've been on defense my whole career, that, you know, now I started thinking about the ways that we could use it from an offensive standpoint. So our quarterbacks did RPO tests that way. You know, our tight ends, we would have our front quiz on Wednesday and Thursday, and then the whole line would come together on Friday and do it together. And you're just talking about what your rule is, what the communication is, what you should be saying on the line, and everything that you would do in practice.
Yeah, that's really, to me, the amazing part of this is it goes beyond just learning that assignment, too. When you think of the two-dimensional playbook, the lines being drawn, I don't care if that's digital or that's paper, you know, that line does not communicate everything that's going to happen. I say to players all the time, don't be out here just running lines. It's a very dynamic piece of information that goes beyond just what that line is showing. And now when you put it into Go Army Edge, and you could put them in the first person point of view or show the simulation up on a, you know, on a big screen, you see all the pieces moving, and you bring in, you know, what my teammate Andy Ryland has termed the vision decision action cycle, and you're able to work all those things, not just on the field, but in, you know, within the framework of really working on the player's brain, training their brain to be able to make those decisions quickly. Yes, you're not doing things on the physical standpoint, but you think about the ability to get reps quickly again and again and again. You're not resetting cans. You're not directing a scout team or a drill player on what he needs to do. You're just hitting, you know, the next button and moving on with the drill that you've set up. It's like you said, you know, that defensive end example, 100 reps in 5 minutes, and now you know, can he do it or not? Can he make those decisions? It's just an incredible tool for that part of the game, the VDA part.
There's no question. And the VDA thing, I really, you know, feel like I'm blessed to be able to work with Andy and Richie and Vin and some of those other guys on those pieces that really is kind of directed to tackling, but it applies to everything in football. Because you said, if you get the two-dimensional playbook, and you, the two-dimensional playbook in my mind is saying, this is what should happen. You know, there should be a combo up to the next level, and you two should take those two. That's what should happen. But, you know, we know this in football, no matter what side of the ball that you're on, you know, there are so many variables that come in, you know, both pre and post snap. And so what those VDAs are, whether it's, you know, through a simulation or just the middle school games that we've been creating and playing, you know, those things are about, you know, make a decision fast. And what I like the most about it is you make a decision, that's not necessarily the right decision. You know, what we're looking for as coaches in the VDA sense is I want you to make that decision quickly and with a purpose. You know, and even if it's wrong, we're going to correct the wrong on tape. You know, but as long as you've made that decision and made that declaration quickly, you know, there's going to be someone behind you that's going to be able to fix it. You know, and that's what those VDAs are all about, is putting you in a position to test those things with distraction and with chaos that certainly defensive football is out there. And we've had some fun over the last couple of weeks creating those VDAs, you know, in simulation as well, and kind of taking that to the next level. Yeah, I mean, like, I think all of this stuff is connected in that way, and it really comes down to having the conversation with the player. You know, and I'll just show an example with our tight ends. And we played 12 personnel and paired tight ends together, and the amount of different things that you can see, the subtle differences on certainly on the second level of alignments, you know, can change rules and things like that. And so we would pop this up, you know, from their own helmet, and we would just go, what would you do here? And, you know, there would be line, you know, the tight ends would say, ah, we'll do this. And I'm like, cool, that's fine. You know, here's something else to think. Or what if we move this guy just a little bit slightly inside or moved him up? You know, and what we found was we were having conversations about it, because these guys ultimately are going to have to make these decisions on the field. And so all these things are tied together of, we need to empower the players and drill the players so that they're able to make what the decisions off of what they see, you know, quickly and decisively, you know, in that 6 seconds of the play.
Yeah, that's amazing when you talk about how you can use that in a meeting now. And I think, you know, I see in visiting spring ball across the country, almost a cookie cutter method for how meetings are conducted and what that meeting room looks like. And, you know, you try to make it dynamic, but for the most part, you know, it's not. But now utilizing something like this, that's actually testing them and showing them the different variations, not on film, but from what it looks like in their helmet, I think that's an incredible tool to build into the meeting process. When you're thinking about that and using this to put together a meeting, how detailed do you go in putting some of those things together, those resources together, so that meeting really flows and you're not, I guess, bogged down by the technology?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the important piece, that you know, you really chase that bell curve idea, because at some point, you know, once you cross over that hump, it's just like trying to explain, you know, opponent statistics to players. You have to find out when it starts slowing them down. And there may be a great statistic out there that's, you know, too much for an individual player or the entire unit to be able to handle. So when you're using technology, you have to make sure that you know, that you're prepared. But what I like about this is that all of these things can really kind of force the coach to, you know, think about his meeting ahead of time, you know, and anticipate it, just like, you know, a good teacher would, you know. And there's still going to be, you're going to watch the film, you know, you're going to review installs and things like that. But, you know, what I would encourage people to do is, you know, use the simulation out there to have the players kind of take control, you know, create an environment that isn't in the install, you know, that maybe your opponent hasn't shown, or, you know, spring ball is a unique time because you're playing against yourself. And, you know, I know offensive guys always will throw in the motion and the shifts and the jump to empty, even though they'll never do it in the fall. But, you know, you use that time to pop that up and ask questions. All right, number one, what would you do, you know, quickly? And then, all right, now what can we do? You know, and then it kind of like organically turns into, you know, you can find out a lot about what the player's thinking, a lot about what the players know about football, because it leads to then the question, why would they do that? And the two things that I always put in from a defensive standpoint, from a form reco standpoint, no matter if the opponent shows it or not, are empty and then tight splits. You know, whether it's a bunch or 2x2, but when you reduce those dividers, it's like all offenses are relatively the same, but you'd be surprised how many defenses aren't prepared. And so we use that pop-up empty or motion to empty or, you know, scatter to empty, and we're able to facilitate those conversations in a meeting room. So then we get out on the field, they've had it before. And that's what virtual reality simulation is all about.
Well, Rob, I'm going down my list of things I wanted to talk to you about today, and I know we have a hard stop today, but I like maybe have gotten through a third of the things I'd like to talk to you about. And, I mean, there's another section on this and some of the updates that have been made to Go Army Edge and some of the new things there. I wanted to talk to you about tackling. I wanted to talk to you about some of your robber coverage. So if you would, I'd love to have you back again here soon, and you know, maybe we could get more through more than a third of this the next time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Keith, anytime, and any of the listeners out there, just look for me on Twitter. It's at nine in the box, spelled out with a N-I-N-E. My email address is up on Twitter also. So anything that I can help with any of this stuff, just like the rest of our profession, I'm an open book and want to see our game continue to get better.
Well, Rob, I appreciate you taking the time today, and we'll talk again here soon.
All right. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEV Coach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as three free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting-edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year-round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis articles, and coaching. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.